You have your Bibles with you this morning. If you'd like to follow along, I'll be reading from the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. 1 John is one of those books of the Bible. It's way kind of back there at the back. Sometimes it's hard to find, but if you can find Hebrews, 1 John is right behind it. Hebrews and James and Peter. Dear friends, let's love each other, because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. The person who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. This is how the love of God is revealed to us. God has sent his only Son into the world so that we can live through him. This is love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice that deals with our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us this way, we also ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. If we love each other, God remains in us, and his love is made perfect in us. This is how we know we remain in him. And he remains in us because he has given us a measure of his Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If any of us confess that Jesus is God's Son, God remains in us and we remain in God. We have known and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. This is how love has been perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the day of judgment, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. After all, those who don't love their brothers or sisters whom they have seen can hardly love God whom they have not seen. This commandment we have from him: those who claim to love God ought to love their brother and sister also. This is the word of God for the people of God. I don't recall any place in the Bible where Jesus ever said to his disciples, "Believe the following things about me." No, what he said was, "Follow me." In today's epistle, the writer does not say that we ought to know about love, but that we are to love. And verse 7 tells us to love each other, because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born from God and knows God. Jesus did not say for us to just think about him, but to abide in him and live in him. We are to follow, to do what he did, to live in the world as he lived. Christianity is not a set of beliefs, principles, or propositions. It is a matter of following, of discipleship. Faith in Jesus is a willingness to follow him. Our faith is in the following. Our following does not involve knowing philosophical ideas or theology or being able to quote a lot of scripture. And there's nothing wrong with being able to do those things or know those things. But we are asked simply to follow him. Faith in Jesus does not always mean having felt something or had an experience. It is simply the willingness to stumble along behind Jesus, a willingness to follow behind him. Our faith is in the following, in following our Lord. Now there's therefore no need for anybody to be confused when asked a simple question, are you a Christian? It's a simple yes or no question. It's not a matter of knowing the meaning of atonement or a set of theological beliefs. It's a simple yes or no answer. The answer, if you are a Christian, is simply yes. I'm trying and doing my best to follow Jesus. I'm his apprentice, his disciple. Our faith is in the following. For example, if someone were to ask you, are you a carpenter? There would be no need for hesitation. You may not be the world's best carpenter or the most experienced carpenter, but you are still a carpenter. You may have only been a carpenter for a short time, but the point is that you're learning the trade and disciplining your life with the skills to be one. Now, if they were to ask you, are you a really good carpenter, there might be some hesitation in your answer. The point is that you're growing as a carpenter. You're not perfect, but still on your way in being perfected in the tools of the trade. A beginning carpenter is still a carpenter. And so it is in our Christian life and following Jesus. Our faith is in the following and doing the best that we can every day. We're not called to be perfect Christians, amen? We're not called to be perfect Christians. For one thing, you can't live perfectly. And secondly, if you try to live perfectly, you're going to be the most miserable person in the world. And then third, to try and live perfectly is living under the law. And we're not under the law. Christ came to free us from sin and the law. We live by grace and by faith and following the Lord. Often in the Gospels, we hear Jesus chastising the disciples because they fail to get the point or they misunderstand. His criticism of them does not mean that they're not real disciples. It means that they're still on the journey, and so are we. Faith does not mean that we have arrived or that we have all the answers. It means that we're on our way, like Abraham. It's not a point somewhere out there in the future that we're trying to obtain, but it's in our present, everyday living. It's in following our Lord. A person who wants to be a carpenter must apprentice to be a carpenter. Minding the moves, learning the practices, being attentive to the principles of the trade, and willing to be criticized by the master until they become what the master is and what the master does. And that's what Jesus means when he says, follow me. It's a willingness, our willingness to follow him, our willingness to learn to be a disciple. I remember when many years ago, when Stacy and I were interviewed at Jacob's school before he began first grade. He was getting ready to go into first grade, and we went to interview, and it was a private Christian school, and their policy was that one of the parents had to be a Christian and to tell how they became one. So we went and we sat down, we met with the principal, and the question was asked to us by her, by the principal, as we sat there in her office. She said, how did you become a Christian? Or how did you come to be a Christian? And so I remember Stacy's response. She said, I can't remember when I wasn't one. Ever since she was a little girl, she was a Christian. Some folks have dramatic moments in their life when they follow Jesus, like St. Paul on the Damascus Road when he had that conversion. Some folks may have dramatic moments in their life, and then others don't. The point is that the way we got on the journey with Jesus is not the crucial matter. The crucial matter is that we're on the way, following him and doing the best we can each day. To be on our way means to be a disciple, imitating the moves of the master in all that we do. To be a disciple and follower of Jesus means full-time Christian service. Following Jesus does not mean 1 or 2 hours on Sunday morning and learning to do a few religious things. It's a matter of doing all that we do, not for ourselves, but for Him. If you think about it, the parables Jesus told were all stories about real life, and His teachings were about things like anger and forgiveness and justice and disappointment. The stuff of real life. The stuff that we deal with day after day. The reason is because He meant for us to follow Him in this life. In our epistle reading this morning, verse 13 tells us, this is how we know we remain in Him and He remains in us, because He has given us a measure of His Spirit. He has put His Spirit within us. You can look at a Christian's life and see evidence of the Spirit. You'll be able to know that the love we show is a gift of the Spirit in which we abide, because it's in our day-to-day living. Our faith is in the following and doing the best we can each day. And 1 John tells us that those who say they love God but then fail to live in a loving way are deceitful. Basically, it says they're liars, is what the Scripture says. The test is in how we live our lives and how we love our neighbor. We can't say we love God and hate a brother or sister. And if we don't love a brother or sister who we can see, is what the writer says, then how can we say that we love God who we can't see? Our faith is in our following. I read a story about a man who set out to learn to play the banjo. And he fell in love with the banjo years ago. And then one summer he set out to do what he was called to do. And he took a month off and he signed on with a master banjo player in the mountains of North Carolina. And he ate, slept, and lived the banjo. And when he returned home, he set aside time every day to practice and play his banjo. He had exercises which conditioned his hands for playing. He listened to recordings of famous banjo players of the past. He even went to folk music conventions to perfect his art. He's not a perfect banjo player by any means, but still, and he still misses notes, and he's never been asked to play professionally or for money or full time. But he's still as much a banjo player as one could ever be. His life has been transformed and changed through his art. He hasn't yet fully mastered the banjo by any means, but the banjo has gone a long way to nearly mastering him. And when he was asked by a person at a party, "What do you do for a living?" he told them his occupation, but he said, "When I'm at my best, I'm a banjo player." How about us? Who are we when we're at our best? I hope that we can say that when we're at our best, or what we do best, is following our Lord. Our faith is in the following. Will you pray with me? Lord, we don't always get it right. But too often we fail and we fall short in so many ways. But help us, we pray, to continue to follow you. Teach us, we pray, and help us to have faith for the journey we travel. For we pray and we ask this in your precious name.